Back chat.
Your alternative to talk back.
Back chat
on FBI Radio.
It is Saturday, February 3rd of 2024, and you're listening to Backchat, where we bring you the stories from Sydney and beyond. My name is Holly Payne. We are broadcasting from the Gadigal land of the Eora Nation, and we pay our respects to elders past and present. Being able to share news and stories in the form of yarning has been a really integral part of Indigenous culture for thousands of years, and it's a privilege to be able to share that tradition as a guest on their land. I'm joined by the wonderful, the mysterious Tanita Rezaghi. Hello.
Oh my God, thank you. Hi. So this week's been a bit of a special one for our national healthcare system. So Medicare celebrated its 40th birthday. Happy birthday, Medicare. So you might have seen politicians out en masse spruiking the 2% climb in bulk billing rates over the last 2 days. And we're going to be joined by Royal College of the GPs President, Dr. Nicole Higgins, to break down what that actually means.
Later on, we'll be hearing from producer Bec Cushway about tax. Albo has just announced changes to Stage 3 tax cuts, and Bec chatted to Crystal Andrews from ZFeed to break down exactly what that means for you and your tax return.
And before that, we're going to be joined by producer Libby Hopper this week, who's swimming out to chat with us about being shark smart and following the bite at Elizabeth Bay earlier this week.
It's always Shark Week on Backchat, baby.
Backchat, backtalk.
Quiet, ain't no
backtalk. Look, just before 8 p.m. on Monday, a woman was bitten by a bull shark in Sydney Harbour, and thankfully she survived thanks to some fast-acting bystanders.
Still, many media outlets sensationalised this incident, dragging up shark tales from throughout Sydney's history and adding to the public fear of sharks. But Libby's here to explain a bit about what happened and, more importantly, why you should be shark smart, not shark scared. This is our favourite topic at Backchat. Libby, thanks so much for joining us.
It is genuinely a pleasure to be with you and talking about sharks again.
Truly, truly. So give us the rundown, girl. What happened?
Yeah, sure. So let's start with the incident itself. So Lauren O'Neill, she's 29 years old and is now known as a resident of the area, was bitten by a bull shark near a private wharf off Billiard Avenue in Elizabeth Bay just before 8 p.m. on Monday. Now, that 8 p.m. point is going to be crucial a bit later. She was rushed to St. Vincent's Hospital with serious injuries to her leg. Now, it was commonly said that she was a kayaker. That is a fact. What needs to be said is she was in the water at the time when the shark bite did occur, so she wasn't in the kayak, just to clarify. In a statement provided to Backchat by the Ministry for Agriculture, it confirmed that the New South Wales government's shark scientists have assessed her injuries and determined a bull shark is likely responsible. They also said that their research has highlighted that individual bull sharks are constantly moving throughout the harbour, and there's no evidence of any territorial behaviour by these individuals. Research has also shown that bull sharks are especially out and about when water temperatures are around 22 degrees, which is what's going on in Sydney at the moment. What should be noted here that there were some prime conditions to heighten the chances of this woman being bitten by a shark, and we'll go through some do's and don'ts around that a little later.
And look, another aspect to this is that a member of the paramedic services leaked some images. What happened there?
Yeah, this was a really I want to use the word odd part of this story, which was already horrific for Lauren O'Neill. It was quite a graphic image that was released of the bite that occurred on her leg. So an ambulance worker is understood to have leaked the photo, and there is now an investigation underway as to how the photo of Lauren O'Neill's leg, which was taken inside the emergency room, was leaked onto social media. That investigation's happening as a part of the New South Wales Ambulance Services.
And, you know, like, this is so similar to that attack that happened in Little Bay, where video footage came out. And I feel like we, like, Australian society, like, really kind of eats it up, to be honest.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun.
Yeah. Well, it's known as the Jaws effect, actually. So it's this phenomenon, which we all know the movie Jaws. And it really got sensationalized, and the fear of sharks became really commonplace. So the point of that is that people became excessively and irrationally scared of sharks. And from the back of that, after, you know, shark bites or fatal incidences have occurred, it's even been known that we would go out and hunt sharks that have potentially, I don't want to use the word committed, but could have been the perpetrator in the incident. Yeah. Let's use that terminology.
The perp shark. Do they still do that? Is it something where I've heard where they capture the shark and drag it out? Or there's also, I've heard incidences where they kill the shark.
I can't comment more broadly, but there's been no communications around it happening specifically in this incident. And going back to the statement from the Ministry of Agriculture, bull sharks aren't known to be territorial, so it'd be incredibly difficult with the number of bull sharks that are in Sydney Harbour to do something like that.
And we did have a text in from Nina's dad. Thank you, Nina. Instead, saying we have to stop saying shark attacks. They're not attacks. They are shark bite incidents. Do sharks deliberately attack us?
No.
No, they don't. And there are different behaviours that are associated with sharks. It is known that bull sharks can be quite aggressive, and that's probably a contributing factor in this instance. But what the important part that we need to do is reduce the likelihood of being in sharks' habitats. And that's where my next lot of points come in.
Please, 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 what I'm hearing, we shouldn't be afraid of sharks. So what should we do to be wary?
Yeah, so many Australians are concerned about the risk of shark attacks. Okay, fair. However, fatal shark attacks occur relatively infrequently in Australian waters. Over the past 50 years, there have been 53 fatal attacks, which is approximately one fatal attack per year. So folks over at SharkSmart have put together a list of things of what not to do if you want to be shark smart.
Lay it on us.
Let's go. So make sure that you're swimming at beaches that are patrolled by surf lifesavers. Do not swim, dive or surf where dangerous sharks are known to congregate. Now, I'm going to spruik the Shark Smart app here. So a lot of beaches in New South Wales along the coast have a thing called a smart drum line. Now, sharks in the area have been tagged, and then you get alerted if they are near those buoys again that are placed out from the beaches. So that's just worth noting. So always swim, dive, or surf with other people. Do not swim in dirty or turbid water. Avoid swimming well offshore, near deep channels, at river mouths, or along drop-offs to deep water. If schooling fish start to behave erratically or congregate in large numbers, leave the water. Do not swim with pets and domestic animals. Look carefully before jumping into water from a boat or a wharf. Do not swim at dusk or at night. Now, that is a prime time for shark activity, which unfortunately is when this shark incident happened this week.
That's something I need to take, like, that warning. Take heed to that warning, because I'm a night swimmer. I like my little night dips, especially on a full moon, you know?
She's a girl. She's allowed.
Yeah.
It's giving banshee energy.
Yeah, literally. Look, if you were particularly interested, you can check out some more objective info on shark attacks by heading to the Australian Government's Department of Climate Change, Energy, the Environment and Water, or you can download the Shark Smart app. Libby, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me and letting me tell my shark tales.
Let there be a thousand blossoms bloom, as far as I'm concerned.
Back chat.
In case you missed it, our national health insurer turned 40 on Thursday, with Health Minister Mark Butler also announcing a 2.1% jump in the bulk billing rate. So that's the amount of appointments being bulk billed. What am I saying? Over the last few years, it's gotten more and more difficult to find a bulk billing doctor, which has been a challenge for many Australians as they struggle to deal with the cost of living crisis.
We're joined by the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners President, Dr. Nicole Higgins. Nicole, welcome to Backchat.
Good morning.
So, Nicole, we mentioned that 2.1 percentage point rise in bulk billing rate just before. It's been all over the news this week, but it's also pretty small. So what does that actually mean?
Well, I think let's do the first thing. Let's talk about what bulk billing is, because I think with 40 years of Medicare, a lot of us still don't understand what it is and what it means. So Medicare has been our health insurance system. 40 years old, and if you think back to 40 years ago, Steve Jobs with the first Mac computer, Do They Know It's Christmas was, you know, released. So 40 years has been a long time. And it was designed to fund pre-hospital care and subsidise other health services. And what the Medicare rebate is that when you go and see your doctor, the government gives you money back, and that's the Medicare rebate. And what happened is that that Medicare rebate's been frozen for the last 10 years, or the index, which means it just hasn't kept up with the cost of how much it is to, you know, deliver medical care. Now, what's happened is that more and more doctors have said, well, actually, we can't bulk bill. We can't, that doesn't cover the full cost of, you know, paying for all the wages of our staff and rent and those things. So the gap has started and people have been paying more and more. What's happened, though, is a couple of months ago, there was an incentive put in with the government to support GPs to bulk bill particularly vulnerable patients, so our under-16s, pensioners, and healthcare card holders. And what we've seen is there's been a real rapid decline of bulk billing. It's just been going down and down. In 2 months, not only has that trajectory changed, it's actually reversed, and the rate's not just slowing now, it's actually increased, and particularly in our rural and regional areas.
Yeah, well, the spike in bulk billing, yeah, like you said, immediately followed that introduction, and half of the appointments where the incentive was used were in rural and regional areas. And, you know, what does that tell us about the people who benefit from that policy?
So there's a couple of things around that. Is that rural people, and I'm speaking as a GP who works in North Queensland, is that they have just under $1,000 spent on them less than people in the cities by Medicare. And we know they've got poorer health outcomes and also are least able often to afford care. So the incentives were particularly targeted so that GPs got more incentives in rural and regional areas. And I guess funding drives outcomes. We can now see what happens. So particularly areas in Tasmania, you know, those levels were quite high. The problem is even our areas in the cities, which have got vulnerable people, that hasn't quite been reflected yet.
We've been celebrating 40 years of Medicare this week. Dr. Higgins, just quickly, what is the state of the scheme? Do you reckon it'll be around for another 40 years?
Well, I think we've all agreed that Medicare itself is also a bit sick, and it has been neglected for, you know, especially governments over the last 10 years. So we're currently reviewing what do we need. So there's something called the Strengthening Medicare Task Force. How can we make Medicare fit for purpose for the future? And that means allowing mechanisms for accessible and affordable care for everybody, but at the same time thinking, well, how do we rejig our system? At the moment, only 6.5% goes into general practice of the health budget, and only 2% into preventative care. We know that more and more money is being poured into expensive hospitals. It would make sense, really, to put money into the foundation, prevent people getting caught in the first place. So there's a bigger picture about where do we go in Australia with how we fund our healthcare.
Nicole, thank you so much. We'll have to let you go right now. It's a bit of a bad line, but we really appreciate it, and thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure, thank you.
All right, thanks, Nicole. To sum up what Dr. Higgins was saying there is... bulk billing has taken a hit. It did artificially rise over the course of the pandemic because all those vaccine appointments were bulk billed. So we saw a rise, and then it fell by about 5% last year, which is huge. It normally varies by about less than 1%. Then since November, in the 3 months, we've seen a 2.1% jump. That's great because, as I said, normally it varies by less than 1%. So all in all, it's still lower than it was pre-pandemic, even with that 2.1 percentage point jump. To be clear, that's 2.1 percentage points, not an increase of 2.1%. That would be very, very small. And yeah.
We have a text in about the bulk billing and that state of Medicare. Someone texted in, yes, so hard to get bulk billed. It makes me want to go to work sick rather than taking leave without pay and coughing up for the $50 plus for the appointment.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Backchat on FBI 94.5.
Have you heard about the recent changes to the Stage 3 tax cuts announced by the PM? It feels like that's all I've been hearing about. Taxes are a complicated and often boring topic, but it makes a huge difference to the day-to-day lives of most Australians.
Beck is here to break down the complex world of tax to tell you what it exactly means for you and how much you're going to get back in your pocket this year.
On behalf of Tennis Australia, I'd like to welcome Victorian Governor, Her Excellency, the Honourable Professor Margaret Gardner, the Australian Prime Minister, the Honourable Anthony Albanese, the Deputy Victorian Premier, the Honourable Ben Carroll. Thank you.
Now, Australian politicians getting booed at sporting matches is not an uncommon occurrence. But this particular bout of booing happened just days after the PM announced changes to the Stage 3 tax cuts proposed to start on July 1st.
This change means that taxpayers earning less than $45,000 will now receive a tax cut. And every working Australian will pay less tax on the first $45,000 that they earn. This is a significant boost for the take-home pay of Australians on modest incomes and for the many Australians who work part-time.
Articles and interviews run by the Daily Mail, Sky News, the Australian Financial Review and Seven News all frame the changes announced this week as inconsistent with election promises and therefore a very controversial political move.
This is insane. Doesn't matter whether people are better or worse off.
However, with the cost of living at an all-time high and a recession on the way, it's tricky to see a boost for modest income earners as anything other than positive. The political conversation around whether or not this was a good idea has all but completely overshadowed the actual changes being proposed. So let's break it down.
The context to this is that the Stage 3 tax cuts that we're all talking about at the moment, these were originally created by Scott Morrison and the coalition government in 2019. And they were very controversial, but they were always slated to come into effect this year. Now, instead of scrapping them altogether, Labor and the Albanese government have changed them to be a little bit more fair. So I guess when we're talking about the Stage 3 tax cut changes, that is why we're talking about it in that way.
That's Crystal Andrews, the founder of ZFeed, a youth-oriented news publisher in Australia that focuses on the analysis and commentary of everything that matters to young people.
So there are three key changes that have been made. First one is to the bottom tax rate. That used to be 19% and they've lowered it now to be 16%. The second change is to the top tax bracket. Now, originally, the people who were paying the highest tax rate that you can in Australia, that was applied if you were making $180,000 a year or more. Morrison had increased that with his tax changes to $200,000 or more. And the newest changes from the Labor government have brought that back down a little bit to apply from the $190,000 or more mark. So those are the people who will now be paying the highest tax rate. The third and final change is around the 37% tax bracket, which is also kind of being discussed as the middle income bracket. Now, Morrison's Stage 3 plan had eliminated that altogether, which was going to mean that people who were making $45,000 a year and people who were making $200,000 a year were all going to pay the same tax rate, which you can understand, I'm sure, how people did not like that and felt it was quite unfair. So the new plan has kept that 37% bracket in place so that the tax rates are applied a little bit more kind of fairly and evenly depending on how much you make. And that's it in a nutshell.
So what does this mean for young people? Let's say you're someone earning $60,000 a year. Currently, you're paying just under $10,000 in total tax. Scott Morrison's 2019 tax cut proposal was going to save you around $375. You'd go from paying $10,000 to around $9,600. Now, under these proposed changes by the Albanese government, you'd save around $1,200, taking your tax down to $8,800. A lot of people hearing this might be thinking, this is fantastic. This is going to come in as a nice juicy bonus in their tax return this year. But that's not quite the case.
So these new tax rates, once they are legislated, and I guess that is an important part to stress, is that this still has to be approved by Parliament, I believe Anthony Albanese and the Labor government believe that it will get through probably with the support of the Greens. But the new tax rates will apply from July 1st this year. So for the next financial year, that means you won't necessarily see it in like a bigger tax return this year. What will happen is that you'll notice your paycheck going forward will be maybe a little bit more because they're reducing the amount of tax that's being taken out of that paycheck.
If you'd like to find out exactly how much this change is actually going to save you week to week, there are some easy to use online calculators out there put out by The Guardian and the ABC that you can take a look at. The backlash against this move was widely reported on. A lot of emphasis was placed on the winners and losers of these changes. But if everyone's going to have their tax cut, why would this announcement result in such animated noisemaking from a crowd of tennis goers at the Australian Open?
I do want to challenge or kind of push back on that idea a little bit that a lot of people were upset by these changes. I think the reality is this is something that most voters and taxpayers wanted to happen. As I said before, the original Morrison Stage 3 kind of plan was really controversial because it was so heavily weighted towards high income earners. And we had many polls both in the lead up to this decision, you know, from kind of like partway through last year. And even now there have been a few polls come out post the announcement that show that people, for the most part, the vast majority of people do support this decision. And a lot of people actually wanted it to go even further. They wanted it to be more significant kind of changes. Where this sort of idea that people are upset or feel that they are being hard done by the changes, I think, unfortunately, in Australia, we do have some really irresponsible media who are pushing the idea of this being a very important lie or backflip by the Labor government because they previously said that they wouldn't change the tax rates. And that kind of narrative is being pushed for political reasons to kind of help the coalition build back some support that they might have lost. But as I said, I think in this economy, the reality is that that lie or the idea of it being a backflip isn't quite a concern because most people, the vast majority of people, are going to be paying less tax, and paying less tax is very rarely an unpopular policy.
Those earning between $135,000 and $200,000, those high income earners, will still be getting a pretty significant tax cut of around $3,000 to $4,000 starting from July 1st, just not quite as much as was promised by the Morrison government back in 2019. But for most Australians, these changes mean that despite a lot of negative press, the Albanese government has proposed a change to the tax plan that will save you between $1,000 to $2,000 in tax over the course of a year. That's about $20 to $40 extra each week that you get to keep out of your paycheck.
That was producer Beck Koshway with Crystal Andrews from ZFeed. A big thanks to our producers, Libby Hopper and Beck Koshway, and our guests, Dr. Nicole Higgins and Crystal Andrews.
Backchat is produced by FBI Radio in Sydney. Tune in live every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Find more at fbiradio.com/backchat.